Thank you, Dr. Maurer and fellow Federationists. Hasn't this been an awesome convention? Before I begin, I want to share two things. One is up here on the platform with us is my wife, Melissa, president of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland. As well as our seven-week-old daughter, Oriana. The second thing is, and this, I mean, you all can listen, but this is for the Maryland guys. Now, I have the pleasure of serving at the request of the affiliate president in Maryland as our PAC chairman. So if you Maryland guys, I mean, I can tell you this speech later, if you could go back to the PAC table, because, you know, I have to live with her. So we got to catch up. So now is a great time to go get on the PAC plan. And the Riccobonos have already increased, but we'd be pleased to double it if we can get 10 people back there before the table closes. But you, the rest of you guys, just sit still, okay? Just sit still. To drive. To drive. A rite of passage anticipated by adolescence and marked by freedom, independence, and discovery. That is, unless you happen to be blind. If you grew up as a blind child, you have repeatedly heard about the freedom provided by driving and how your participation is impossible. If you are newly blind, you have surrendered your license to drive and the powerful freedom of independence that you felt behind the wheel. The kind offer to let you drive has been extended by friends and family, but the opportunity to press the pedals and turn the wheel in closed parking lots and barren fields provided no expansion of your horizons. But is driving truly impossible for you? Is vision the essential element for freedom and independence? The dictionary tells us to drive is to direct the motion and course of, to compel, to carry on or through energetically, and to give shape or impulse to. The driver is the one directing the movements. To be effective, the driver must take responsibility for the elements being driven, whether a vehicle, an organization, or a system. To a great degree, to drive is to lead. While driving an automobile is a privilege, driving in the broader sense is both a right and a responsibility. Long before the advent of automobiles, it was widely accepted that the blind could not drive. Throughout history, the blind have been designated passengers who need the charity of others to direct their actions and guide their futures. This presumption went unchallenged for centuries. That was until a small group of blind people resolved to abandon the designated passenger role and established their right to drive. The vehicle built by that group of blind people was the National Federation of the Blind, and we have not stopped driving ever since. For 70 years, we have taken responsibility for our own future and mapped out new roads to travel. We have expanded the vehicle, growing the federation in each state, the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, and dispatched our drivers to hundreds of new destinations. But we were not content simply to drive. We wanted to test the limits of our capacity. We moved into the fast lane 6 years ago when we established the NFB Jernigan Institute, a new vehicle for our collective action, intended to equip us with the tools necessary to win the race for independence. Through our leadership, we have driven farther than it was ever thought possible. But we are not yet out of fuel. We are the drivers. We are the National Federation of the Blind. Our Jernigan Institute is the test track for building education, technologies, research, and resources fueled by our hopes and dreams, moving us toward new destinations of independence. Over the past year, our progress has been swift, but the roads we have yet to travel are unpaved. We dare to drive where others have not even dreamed. My brothers and sisters, I ask, are you prepared to drive? Before we review our progress, I want to share something with you. For over a decade, I've been working to improve the education of blind children. I take an interest in each young person and do all I can to improve opportunities for them. I direct the development of new educational initiatives with the fuel of hope that the experience of the next generation might be better than the educational struggles I faced. Yet, I have to admit that I did not fully appreciate all that was at stake in helping teach and empower the next generation until the birth of my son, Austin, 3 years ago. Austin has taught me more than I had expected, and he has given me a deeper appreciation of the critical role of teachers, parents, and mentors, the drivers of our society. 7 weeks ago, my wife, Melissa, gave birth to our second child, Oriana. As blind parents, we wonder what struggles we might face from medical professionals who carry misconceptions about the capability of the blind to parent. We are always prepared to provide kind but firm education about the methods we use. At one point during our stay in the hospital, Oriana was swept away to receive the routine checkup from the resident pediatrician. I grew impatient after a while and headed off to the nursery. I met the pediatrician, who began asking me how much I could see. I was prepared for the conflict and determined that she would know that vision had nothing to do with my ability to be a great dad. Then she surprised me by quickly switching lanes. She asked that we follow up with a pediatric ophthalmologist because Oriana's eyes did not respond as expected. In that moment, my heart skipped a beat, and I had to physically strain to hide my concern. It was not the potential for vision loss that scared me. We know the National Federation of the Blind. We know the truth about blindness. What jolted me was the instant understanding that my daughter, for whom I had only been able to imagine limitless possibilities, might now be headed toward a second-class education system lacking in innovation and featuring low expectations, a system that simply does not believe it's failing blind children because it does not expect excellence from them. We have worked so hard. Yet the heartbreaking stories of years lost and opportunities missed keep coming. And in the future, my daughter could be among them. The fear is overwhelming when I remember that my daughter is just one of the thousands of children for whom we need to break the oppressive system of second-class education. You have seen them in the halls of this convention exploring freedom of movement. You have met their parents and were touched by their tears. You have worked with the teachers who have had the passion knocked out of them because of the poor systems they work within, and you know their stories because you have traveled down that lonely road. What we told our daughter in the hospital that day is the same message we in the National Federation of the Blind intend for all blind children and their parents to hear in their hearts. We love you. We believe in your potential to change the world. Your dreams are our hopes for the future. Your education is our most important work, and we will not let you experience the same pattern of struggle. We are prepared to drive. We accept the risk and the responsibilities, and no one can outrace us. The dawn of a new horizon in the education of blind children has come. The National Federation of the Blind has brought new inspiration and imagination to the education system. Last year, we offered the second NFB Youth Slam, the largest gathering of blind youth and blind mentors. We expanded our curriculum to new subjects like forensics and architecture. We influenced a major university to think differently about the capacity of the blind. And, most importantly, we taught young people how to drive their own future. The cheerful chants of the students as we marched down the National Mall in Washington, D.C., after experiencing a hard summer downpour, were proof enough that the next generation will drive us farther than ever. This summer, we will again have our Junior Science Academy, where we will teach the youngest budding blind scientists. We have already begun to stretch our imagination to the next NFBU Slam in 2011, where we will again further the opportunities. And we are in preparation for the longer journey of a total revolution in the education of blind children. What can we do next? Where should we go? How can we get there more effectively? These are just some of the questions we need to answer in order to get to their next great destination in our journey for educational excellence. This year, we initiated the NFB Leadership and Advocacy in Washington program to teach blind middle school students practical lessons of government and advocacy, empowering them to get in the driver's seat. In the process, we taught them about the historical struggles of the blind and about the strides we have made when we took charge of our own future. 25 young blind students commanded attention on April 20, 2010, as they navigated the halls of the Congressional Office buildings and drove their points home. And when some of them could not secure meetings with their members of Congress while in Washington, they persisted and made sure that their voice was heard when they returned home. Government is an important vehicle for shaping society. We have accepted the responsibility of speaking for ourselves in the halls of power, and we are now teaching the next generation to do the same. These students are now better prepared to deal with the obstacles in the road, and they will not let the system drive them off course. Fundamental to education is literacy. We continue to make strides in our quest for widespread Braille literacy, but we must keep our foot firmly on the accelerator. Our Braille Readers Are Leaders contest continues to grow with reach to over 600 students from 47 states. We now offer a contest for blind adults in order to help encourage new Braille readers. We have initiated the Braille Pals Reading Club, offering families of young blind children ongoing exposure to Braille-related resources. Last summer, we piloted a new Braille enrichment program that teaches Braille to those overlooked by the education system, and this year, we will deliver the program in 5 states, Georgia, Maryland, Texas, Utah, and Virginia. We have packaged a robust curriculum that is now available free of charge to any NFB affiliate that wants to accelerate Braille literacy in their local communities. We need to continue to spread literacy across the country and seek partnership with the best teachers of Braille we can find to help us. Where we could not find great teachers, we will teach them ourselves. We are prepared to drive to the place where literacy for all blind children is not an academic debate, but an academic assumption. In the area of research conducted on the education and rehabilitation of the blind, we have until recently been distant subjects to be studied rather than equal partners. We are now driving research efforts and creating new vehicles for innovation and discourse. Last year, we established a working group to examine how we might use research to more effectively tackle the Braille literacy crisis in America. Last month, in partnership with others, we held a 2-day research conference focusing on the current and future state of the art in Braille. We are not satisfied with the state of the art, and we are fed up with the question of whether or not Braille has value in the 21st century. With this conference, we are shifting the focus of Braille research to investigations that will further illuminate how we can more effectively deliver information in a tactile form to a wide range of individuals and refute the negative assumptions that prevent innovations in Braille. The blind have now shattered the traditional model of research in the field, a broken vehicle that is unable to deliver us to the many places we dream of going. The establishment of the Journal of Blindness, Innovation, and Research gives the field a more powerful vehicle for advancing the freedom and independence of the blind. We invite all those who desire to help drive research on the real problems of blindness to be part of our movement. We are no longer willing to be passengers on the road to the future, and our journal is just one more way we are driving toward a future full of opportunities. The road we have traveled teaches us much about the future. Dr. Jacobus Ten Broeck was the first president of the Federation. He provided us with the essential pattern of thought that is the engine of our organization. In honor of Dr. Ten Broeck, we have established a research library where we are making the history of the blind available to all. Through our online catalog, The Blind Cat, anyone around the world can examine the rich historical resources being collected through the only research library owned and operated by the blind. The next phase of our work is to digitize our collections so they can be read via the internet, helping advance the understanding of blindness all over the world. Similarly, To understand the past and build for the future, we continue to achieve new milestones through our annual Jacobus Tenbroek Disability Law Symposium. Through our efforts, we are winning the race for independence. Throughout this convention, you have experienced the many strides we have made towards equal access to information and technology. But what about the road ahead? Our blind driver challenge, the intersection of our capacity as people who happen to be blind, and the quest for innovation. I again ask, is driving impossible for you? Is vision the essential element for freedom and independence? The evidence is clear that, in many senses of the word, the blind do drive. There remains that one real sense of the word, to drive an automobile, that most still believe is impossible. Why? The answer is the same one that has been under the hood of all the great problems we have faced, the persistent notion that blindness is a tremendously disabling condition that diminishes our abilities and prescribes a limited range of freedoms. The assumption is, to drive is to see. But that has not been our experience. When the blind took responsibility for their own destiny, the boundaries of independence were expanded, and we have not yet found the limits to those horizons. The fact that we have not yet been permitted to drive automobiles has not prevented us from developing effective methods for our own independence and freedom. So, why can't we drive? Our limitation has been not the inability to see, but rather the lack of vision to imagine and build a system that has never been thought possible. We now know that when we combine the experience of blind people with innovative engineers like those at Virginia Tech, we can demonstrate that vision is not the essential element for success it is assumed to be. Our NFB Blind Driver Challenge is the great race for technological innovation that will shatter misconceptions about the capacity of the blind and perceived limits of innovation. Our quest parallels the space race of the 1960s. The technologies created to get the United States to the moon have had profound impact on our society. Likewise, the path of innovation required to meet the goal of our Blind Driver Challenge will have tremendous spin-off benefits for the blind as well as the rest of society. Why do we want to drive? Because our driving has always been the key to giving us freedom and independence. Driving has given us control of and has changed the prospects for our own future. We have been driving for 70 years. And if we do not keep driving, we will not keep faith with those who have dared to drive us to where we are today. We want to drive because only we believe we can. Our quest to drive an automobile is a quest to continue expanding leadership, collective action, and the boundaries of independence. This is the quest of the National Federation of the Blind and our Jernigan Institute. This is our call for drivers. To the extent that each of us is willing to assume the risk and prepared to shoulder the responsibility of driving, we will continue to accelerate the advancement of our movement for Oriana and those thousands of other blind children We need to drive. Let's go together, daring to drive where others or not even dream, and we will discover a future full of opportunities.